Hey, so this is not a real episode. I just recorded a full interview with the author and journalist Michael Scott Moore. Michael Scott Moore was taken hostage by Somali pirates and held captive for 977 days. So I have what I think, honestly, will be one of my best episodes to date for you, which I'm going to release on the 18th, so next week. But what you're hearing right now is not that. But Michael and I are talking here. So Michael and I continued to talk after we finished the sort of main topic, and we just talked about other topics and caught up on some things. And of course, we both had a lot of thoughts about the just jaw-dropping events at the Capitol this week. So I'm just releasing that little part of our conversation now, pretty much uncut. So it's like a little special bonus, if you want to call it that. Anyway, I'm just going to let it play. Forgive my excitement in it. I'm quite worked up about what's happening, as you can imagine, and I have much more to say. I'm going to save that for elsewhere. Anyway, I assure you the full episode with Michael about the ethical dilemma of paying ransom to hostage takers and his personal story of being kidnapped by pirates is one that you're not going to want to miss. And we never mention Donald Trump in it, not even once, but that's next week. This one, of course, is about what just happened in the Capitol. Anyway, here you go. This is me and Michael Scott Moore as a little bonus.
Yeah, you know, for sure.
It was a good diversion from also the insane news cycle that is just... Yeah. I was like, are there parallels? I'm not going to even do
it. Violence comes home. There are parallels.
Yeah. I mean, we could talk about it briefly if you want, of the parallels. You know, I've been in some political violence in Uganda, which again is a much different flavor of a very like pseudo fledgling democracy in Uganda versus Somali, which is like full on breakdown. That feels just utterly similar in almost every way to what you saw the other day, except. Yeah. That the cops did not join the riot, which is thankfully, where we're not, that it's the thing that still separates us, that there is not an equivalent militarily armed band yet with that kind of firepower that is also on the other side of that wall pushing it. That's the difference, but it's flimsy.
It's
shit,
a little
like
bit
see
porous. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. No, the main parallel I noticed today, I was reading a description of how a New York Times photographer got roughed up inside
the Capitol building.
Yeah. She started to scream. I mean, she was in fear.
Oh, I did read this. They broke her camera and her lens.
Broke her camera, you know, first they challenged her and said, "Where are you from? Which paper are you from? Why are you taking pictures?" Yeah. And she did have a press pass, and it said the New York Times, and they flipped out on her.
Yeah,
that's the same era.
And they were yelling like, "Where's Schumer?" They were like hunting him down, right?
Exactly. So that irrationality I experienced firsthand. But in 2012, I had to go to Somalia to do that.
Yeah,
a journalist no longer has to go so far.
Yeah, yeah. People, I've been seeing people hesitant to use the word coup because they think it's some sort of affront to coups that probably you and I have been seen closer of, like, oh, this is about a violent sort of, and I get that impulse to like not freak out, but I'm also actually have an opposite impulse of like, there's an argument to be made in favor of exaggeration and hyperbole sometimes. And this might be one of them of, no, use the word, yes, acknowledge that this was not an East African style, like overthrow of a government and there's not dead bodies on every street corner. Of course not. But mentioning the word and calling it that has its utility to scare people away of like, these are the signs. These are exactly the signs that you need to look for that. Yes, we're at the first step of a marathon where the finish line might be, you know, what a failed state looks like. Yeah. We're not even close, but you should at least acknowledge the first step and the road is called a failed state. So stop and turn around. And that's like,
sure.
I'm not so put off by the word coup. Does that hit you the same way?
It not only makes sense, but I think investigating the extent to which it might have been a coup is still interesting. So we don't know yet exactly why the police response was so weak.
Yeah.
We don't know how much of that incitement that Trump actually committed was planned beforehand. Obviously it was a motley crew of some people who, you know, weren't thinking too hard about it. There might have been a hardcore of people who were thinking very carefully about what they were going to do. And there might have been some preparations behind the scenes to allow it to happen, because otherwise on a normal day in Washington, D.C., the place is lousy with cops.
Yeah.
And you can't get away with very much without getting stopped or injured. So there's a a lot still to be told about how it happened. And it might turn out that it was a coup attempt.
Right.
There are certainly people in Washington saying that now.
Right? Yeah.
Yesterday, certainly as of this morning, Friday morning.
Yeah.
But that story still has to be told. But as far as not downplaying the violence that actually did happen and the precedent in American history, I agree with you too. It should not be downplayed.
Yeah. I don't mind overplaying it. I mean, if we're going to err on the side, overplay the hand of exaggeration, I don't see a lot of downside to that. And yes, to be clear, I'm talking about, again, I keep referencing Uganda because I just have more intimate experience there. Mm-hmm. And I predicted actually about a year ago now that they're probably about a year away from a full on what will look like an African coup. And it will look like very different. This is Museveni, who's been in power forever. Yeah. And the rival named Bobby Wine, who was actually a rapper sort of from the Trump world of celebrity and has a youth mm-hmm. uprising. They wear these red fedoras. I'm sure it'll have this mm-hmm. kind of look and feel to it. And the way that looks now, yes, just to point out the vast differences that we're looking at is Museveni has a military pseudo police force that is at his beck and call that is basically a political force. We don't have something quite like that
right.
yet.
Right.
And Bobby Wine was like supporting rival political party candidates in the last, what's sort of an equivalent of their midterm kind of election kind of deal. And it was, you know, pretty anti-Museveni and he's getting very nervous about it. And so they planted a bunch of guns in his hotel room and then raided it and claimed that he was doing this and beat him up and killed a bunch of people. And then he fled to Boston and then he came back. Like, it's much more dirty and sinister yeah. than where we are at now. So yes,
sure.
I get the people being like, you think this is a coup, you ain't seen nothing yet. True. Yes, we grant them everything, but I don't know if we have the kind of words for like that work for like, this was a little bit of a coup or like this was an attempted coup or an early coup. I guess I'm just trying to push back as the whole point of using those words is to never get there, is to right. notice these things right now, do everything you can to unplug the machine, which it seems like some reasonable people are really trying to do, mm-hmm. and notice the institutions that held, like the Supreme Court, as much as we probably disagree ideologically with the people on it, it holds as an institution. Things hold. But of course, as the famous yeah. book goes, things also fall apart.
I mean, I'm not afraid of the word coup. I think it might turn out to be an attempted coup, but those words are worth using and they're worth considering, because what happened was certainly unprecedented and a stain on American history. The worst part, I mean, the thing that I was depressed about all day when it was happening was the incredible power of alternative facts and
oh my God.
Propaganda, which the Trump machine has obviously been spewing out more or less on purpose for quite a long time, aided and abetted by Q, whoever that might be. But, all these things have an incredible power over a segment of the population. And I think that's a direct result of the rise of the internet. I mean, that's something
yes.
that we didn't have to contend with when I was still in school.
This is
a new phenomenon that a new factor in political life that we certainly saw coming, but that's really depressing to me.
Yeah. Yes. I have a lot to say about that, and I'm gonna save it. But I have been on a tirade about that problem and. One after another, and frankly, just it's not only people on the right that are in my personal orbit that are falling prey to false narratives on all sides. And it is very much a direct result of the internet and a feedback loop of social media and the bad incentives that are in play in the media. And I don't have great solutions for it either, but I have a lot to say about how we've just sort of closed our eyes and hoped this would work out. And what you saw yesterday was a loud resounding, like, this is not working out. Exactly. I don't know. And I don't know if we overreact and just unplug all the social media machines totally right now. I wouldn't be totally opposed to it, but obviously we have a freedom issue with that. Maybe we'll work it out, but yeah, ideas kill. And I shared this with in the last episode, actually, which was about something totally different. Ideas literally kill. And I lost a good friend to suicide after he had fallen into very deep conspiracy theories that I found out at the beginning of COVID. And it's rather personal to me, what I'm seeing. He fell into them long before Trump, but it's the same failure of methodology to contact truth, and our media is not helping us. And as a side note of a punchline to an argument that I didn't even make here, we're asking far too much of the average consumer of the world and of media to decipher it at this point, because it all looks really good. It's all really polished. Literally, this microphone right here costs $87.
Yeah.
That's the barrier to entry to make something that sounds as good as something the New York Times can do. And that's a phenomenon of the internet. You could be in a basement and make something that looks pretty good. The analogy, I'm a film guy, as you know, and I'm sure you know this, it used to be called a Chiron machine, right? It was like as big as this table was the machine that you would need. And it was very expensive to like just literally put a lower third with your name on the screen. Mm-hmm. That used to be something that was expensive to get. And you could sort of and out of reach for most people. So if you saw it on TV and it looked pretty slick, you could pretty much go with the heuristic in your head that like that went through a lot of filters of capitalism, that it was expensive to produce. It was hard to produce. Someone probably had to think about it a lot. They're sinking a lot of literal cost into it. So it's probably somewhat vetted and important. That's out the window. Literally, like I in this room right now, sitting at my kitchen table, can make something that looks as slick as anything that you're going to see on CNN. That used to be the quick shortcut that you could do of like, that looks like pretty much real news. It probably is. That kind of looks like bullshit. It probably is. That's all out the window. So that's my quick argument of like, we're asking people to do way too much to decipher what's the truth. And so I'm letting them off the hook, but look at the consequences it has out there. As one, actually, before you even jump into it, as a specific example in the Trump phenomenon, sure, you know about it because you're plugged into this sort of issue, but you know the Epoch Times, right? Epoch Times.
Yeah.
Right. So this is like the publication that looks and feels like the New York Times. I was filming with a woman in Iowa who's a full-on Trump sort of cultist, really, at this point. And she told me she's really active on social media. And she's like, some of my friends don't really like it too much. And I was like, hey, can I see it? I was just wanted to film her screen scrolling through her Facebook. And like every other post was the Epoch Times. And she had a physical copy of it here. And frankly, it looks it's the same font. It looks pretty good. It looks real. Mm-hmm. And you just sort of, you get it. It's like, how is she going to tell the difference between X and Y? She doesn't have the time,
But you can, you can sit down and learn what the gold standards are in American journalism. That doesn't take too much, but you do have to sit down and think about it. I mean, at the very least, the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times, require several, at least double sourcing and some fact checking. Magazines like the Atlantic and the New Yorker require fact checking. If a story gets to that point, then you're obviously dealing with a different quality of story than
I'm just seeing so many smart people that I know falling prey to it,
of course, and the mistrust of exactly all those titles that I just mentioned is incredible. The other important thing to point out is that most of these places, including the New York Times, but also like your local TV news station, has to source a lot of its facts from the AP or Reuters. So the news wires are also pretty reliable, because they're the whole, the CNN can take just one fact from AP and then turn it into a big TV spectacular, but the kernel of it will be from something from the news wires. So those places are still reliable places to go. It's just that people don't trust it. I mean, they've been in some cases, there's actually a propaganda war against them, specifically by, let's say Sean Hannity. But, the propaganda places call the reasonably behaving journalistic outlets propaganda places. So this is the 21st century.
Yeah. Well, we covered a lot of ground.
We did.
I'm going to let you go. I might just snip that out and put that up literally just like with a quick
separate
link.
Yeah, it's a separate conversation.
Separate, but it's a needed one. I mean, I'm just so.